The Hungarian army, in conformity to the orders of the government and the universal wish of the Hungarian people, began the night before last their advance into Subcarpathian Russia. This forenoon, the chief of the Hungarian staff, in his communique, only said that the advance was continuing according to plan. A report from Warsaw at 3 PM already stated that the Hungarian troops had appeared on the Ulaki Pass and had made contact with the Polish frontier guards, thus establishing at that point the common Hungarian-Polish frontier. There is no doubt that the rest of Subcarpathian Russia will be occupied just as quickly, and that on the other passes and roads, the Hungarians will stretch out the hand of friendship to Poland. In connection with these historical events, Count Paul Telecki, Premier of Hungary, made the following declaration in the lower house, and a similar declaration was made by Count Csáky to the public. The people and the leaders of Subcarpathian Russia, yesterday and today, have several times appealed to the Hungarian government to occupy with Hungarian troops the whole of Subcarpathian Russia in the interest of preserving the life and property of the local population. The Hungarian government has complied with this request. The Hungarian troops will leave the positions they have so far occupied in Subcarpathian Russia and will continue their advance until the whole of the territory is occupied. The Hungarian foreign minister communicated this declaration to the German, Italian, and Polish governments. He also informed thereof the ministers in Budapest of Romania and of Yugoslavia. The declaration was communicated to the Pozsony government through the Hungarian consulate in that town. Here we have to mention that the Prime Minister of Slovakia telegraphically asked Herr Hitler to assume the protection over Slovakia. The Chancellor of the German Reich has assumed this protection over the Slovak state. As to what effect this will have on the future of the Slovak state, it is as yet impossible to say. The Hungarian government, from the very beginning of the Czech crisis, has taken the point of view of demanding self-determination for the peoples, and has always insisted that the various nationalities grouped together in Czechoslovakia should be given the opportunity to decide themselves as to what state and under what conditions they wanted to live. From the Slovak side, within the last few months, there have been repeated verbal attacks against Hungary, and Hungary has been accused of wishing to occupy Slovakia. Hungary, however, only last week guaranteed the frontiers of independent Slovakia and agreed to open a legation in Pozsony. It is on these grounds that the latest step of the Slovak premier in asking Herr Hitler for protection has caused surprise in Hungary. In any case, it depends on Slovakia and her leaders as to how they intend to preserve and carry into the future their country and the full independence they have just been successful in acquiring. This is exclusively the business of Slovakia, and neither the Hungarian government nor Hungarian public opinion want to interfere therein. They have not interfered so far, nor will they do so in the future. The Slovaks lived for 1,000 years within the Hungarian realm, and that they were not oppressed therein is best proved by the fact that not only have they preserved their nationality through all that time, but they have even developed it. During the 20 years of Czech rule, however, a new generation has grown up, which the Czechs have brought up to believe in the most violent anti-Hungarian policy. The Hungarian nation, as we have already said, does not want to interfere in the wish of the Slovaks to continue their national existence under a protectorate. For in any case, they now apparently want to try this form also. Hungarian public opinion is naturally more interested in what is happening in Subcarpathian Russia. The reports which are continually arriving prove that the Hungarian troops are everywhere occupying the territory and are not meeting with any resistance. On the contrary, they are everywhere received with the greatest delight by the native population, which has always remained faithful to Hungary. Now is being clearly proved that the Carpathian Russians were always friends to Hungary, and that the Ukrainian movement, which was introduced by the Czechs from Galicia and Soviet Russia, by the aid of Ukrainian emigrants, they settled there, was totally without any roots among the local population. Yesterday, the premier of Subcarpathian Russia, Canon Voloshin, in reply to the telegram of the Hungarian foreign minister calling upon him to hand over to the Hungarian troops, replied that he would willingly send envoys to Budapest, but asked that the military operations be suspended. Thus, even for technical reasons, was naturally quite impossible, and the Hungarian foreign minister replied only that he would be willing to receive the envoys in Budapest. Today, however, it was reported from Bucharest that Canon Voloshin, whom the real Carpathian Russians consider as a traitor to their interests, had crossed the frontier into Romania, accompanied by the members of his government. When Canon Voloshin was going towards the bishop's palace in Mara Morosia, a non-commissioned officer of the former Ukrainian guard endeavored to attack him. The attempt was, however, frustrated. Great is the joy among the inhabitants of those parts of Subcarpathian Russia which are already being liberated. Today, for the first time, the population of the neighboring villages could enter Munkács, Ungvár, and Beregszász, towns which had been restituted to Hungary by the Vienna Arbitration Award. Towns and squares of these towns are full of rejoicing peasants. The great Catholic churches of Ungvár and Munkács are full of grateful peasants offering thanks to God for at last being freed from 20 years of slavery. You have just heard our new service in English, broadcast from shortwave station HAT4, Budapest, Hungary.